Grace, mercy, and peace are indeed yours from God your Father, in and through his Son, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul speaking, I must go on boasting. On my behalf, I will not boast except in my own weakness. To keep me from boasting, from becoming conceited, really, by body and soul, I have been given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan. Three times I asked God to take this thorn from me, but he said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses. I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul really had every reason to boast in a human sense. After all, he had been given this experience in the third heaven, with beautiful vision, with physical presence, perhaps, on his part, right with God. He also had the opportunity to preach the pure, true gospel to the Corinthians on this, his third trip to them, and also on his two prior trips. He had been converted on the Damascus Road. He had been called as an apostle of the Lord's church, been with the Lord himself, and been given the Holy Spirit so that he could speak and write the very words that we read here today. What a huge amount to boast of in human terms. But Paul had also been given great sufferings, especially the ones that were before him right there with the Corinthians. He had found that the people, the Corinthians, had been following false apostles, pretenders, who were undoing all the things that he had faithfully preached. They preached a false gospel. They had made the Corinthians slaves to this false gospel. They proclaimed a different Jesus, not the true Jesus. They were under the power of a different spirit, not the Holy Spirit. How totally distressing this must have been to Paul. How he must have suffered seeing his life work actually being reversed. And all of this suffering doesn't even include all of the suffering of Paul that we learn about in other places in the scripture. You know, the being beaten with whips and rods, stoned, shipwrecked, without food, and this continuing anxiety that he had for all the churches that he had visited. Is Paul crazy? What's wrong with this man? Boast in weaknesses and suffering? Be content with persecution? Accept any suffering willingly that comes his way? Why, these are the very things that we try to avoid in this life. Who among us would have gone to the Bible study in Charleston in the AME church if we knew there was a shooter around? Who would have volunteered to serve as an employee or an independent contractor in the Mideast if they had known that there was a chance that they would kneel down with a knife behind their neck? Who would say after being injured in a car wreck, that was really a good experience, I rejoice in it? Or how many of you would say after the death of a parent or a spouse, that's okay, I'm honored to have to work through this in the name of Christ? Who would have lined up to fight the Ebola virus right in the midst of infected people? Now I know that I would never would have welcomed the 6 months of suffering that I experienced when I fell 13 feet out of an oak tree 10 years ago while operating a chainsaw. Now, I didn't actually cut off the limb that I was standing on. No, we don't like suffering. It's okay to try to avoid suffering. God is going to allow it to come our way one day anyway, no matter whether we like it or not. Suffering requires no invitation. God gives suffering a pretty long leash when it comes to causing suffering. But in Christ, we are ready for it. Our problem is that we don't always see suffering in the broader picture of the Christian life. We sometimes drug our ill parents in the hospital to the point that they're not suffering, but they're also not communicating. We fail to speak the truth where we should speak, just to avoid pain for us. We fail to speak of Christ to friends or to family when we think that others will think ill of us and we will have to suffer. We sometimes think that suffering is something resulting from a bad thing that we did, or that somehow God really doesn't like us very much. We think that suffering is just plain unfair, since those around us aren't suffering. All these thoughts come from our sinful nature. They are contrived by our mind, our brain, and so we must look at what God says. The Lord tells us that sufferings of this present time are not worthy comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us. We suffer to be glorified with Christ as he suffers. Paul tells us that the Christians rejoice in their sufferings, knowing that sufferings produce endurance, endurance character, and character hope. We are told in 1 Corinthians, that when one Christian suffers, all the body of Christ suffers. Our brothers and sisters suffer with us. Many of you know the outpourings of love and concern that arise during our suffering. Now, the really good news is that Jesus' sufferings give meaning to our suffering. He is beaten, lashed, impressed with a crown of thorns, and hung on a tree. Can you imagine greater suffering than that? Yet on the third day, he rose in victory over suffering itself. And remember that he had the stigmata still, the marks, on him. So even as he rose victorious over death, he reminded us that he would be with us always, even to the end of the age, in the midst of suffering. So no longer can Christian suffering seem meaningless. No longer in Christ does it seem purposeless. No longer is it unbearable. Now all of our suffering lives in the glorious victory of Jesus Christ over suffering and death itself. The world flees from suffering while we cling and run to Christ's suffering. We may never see the meaning of our suffering, but it is there. Christ knows it. A good example of all of this might be what is found in Richard Wurmbrunn's book, Tortured for Christ. He is the one who founded the magazine, the organization called Voice of the Martyrs. And he himself was a Polish Lutheran pastor working in Romania after the Second World War. Romania is the home of many gypsies. His wife, Sabrina, also worked with him. Of course, in Romania in post-World War II, in the 40s and the 50s, late 40s and 50s, there was a communist regime in place. The Christian church had been repressed and suppressed. Now, Wurmbrunn saw his work as being very simple. Since the church could not meet publicly, usually, he would gather Christians in private and would proclaim the good news to them, even in the midst of their captivity, that they had redemption, freedom, new life in Christ. The Wurmbrunns were each imprisoned for many years by the communist governments. And in fact, they were in different prisons also, which gave a special hardship to each of them. Now, here is what Richard Wurmbrunn says about one of his imprisonments. It was strictly forbidden to preach to other prisoners. It was understood that that whoever was caught doing this received a severe beating. A number of us decided to pay the price for the privilege of preaching. So we accepted the communists' terms. It was a deal. We preached Christ. They beat us. We were happy preaching. We were happy preaching. They were happy beating. So everyone was happy. Funny as that is, there's some deeper meaning, and his ability to retain a sense of humor in situations like that is certainly reflective of a wonderful attitude that the Holy Spirit gave him with regard to the gospel and with regard to his own situation. Now, we might not want to be quite as flippant as Pastor Wurmbrand, but he does make a good point. Suffering is not always bad. So if you experience suffering the next time, instead of saying, "Why me?" say this, "Why not me? Why not me?" Because God works through and in the midst of our suffering, and indeed he brings it to an end that only he can bring it to, salvation in his Son Jesus Christ, continuing life as baptized Christians, even as we suffer day in and day out. So we thank God today for the suffering of Jesus Christ, that it gives meaning to all the many ways in which we yet suffer today. In Jesus' name.